Welcome to another episode of The Pulse. And I feel like all the time I say these episodes are special because I love the fact that we have special people in the studio. But we've known you for a minute,
yes.
But wanted to get you into the studio for a minute. So I am thrilled to have award-winning performer, author, Emmys, Tonys, good stuff.
All that stuff.
Shirley Ralph, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Good to be with you today.
I appreciate you coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got a lot of things to talk about. Let's start with the newest thing, and yes. That's the book.
Diva 2.0, 12 Life Lessons from Me for You.
This is not your first book.
No, it's not.
Okay.
This is actually, in some ways, an updated version of the first one, which was redefining Diva. You know, 10 years have passed, so many things have happened, and I just said, okay, maybe it's time for a fresh outlook.
Then it was redefining Diva and making it into a positive thing.
Yeah.
So what's Diva stand for to you?
For me, it's an acronym. Divinely inspired, victoriously alive, awesome, audacious, and if it was Sunday, we would be anointed. Yes.
Why do we need to redefine it?
I think, you know, it was a wonderful word, you know, to begin with. Diva stood for goddess, a deity, you know, a woman who, with the power of her confidence and her talent, when she took to the stage, just changed the vibration of the theater. And now, you know, things happened, and then it became about big hair and even bigger, badder attitude, and how unkind you could be or rude behavior. And I just said, you know, something for such a wonderful word, let's reclaim it. So now we're lifting it up on a little higher, Diva 2.0.
And it is reclaiming it, right? So
yes.
You've been doing this long enough to see, like, I remember Miss Patti LaBelle,
and Diva.
We said Diva, right?
Yes.
But you said Diva then, like, such a positive thing.
Oh, yes.
You know, you had Gladys
Aretha
Knight,
Franklin.
Right.
Diva.
And we embraced Diva then. So when did it become, oh, that person's just doing too much?
Well, you know what, I won't talk about them, but there were a lot of people who just were exhibiting a complete lack of confidence by exhibiting bad behavior, by showing you that it was okay to be unkind. It is never okay to be unkind. And when you embrace bad behavior, we end up in times like what we're in right now, where lying has become okay. Lying is not okay. Hurting people physically, it is not okay. We're experiencing that with physical altercations, gun violence. We're also seeing it in hit-and-run accidents. These things are not okay. It is the worst of us, those who get on the street and decide that the rules of the road are not for them. That sort of behavior is not okay. Knocking on the walls during our podcast, it is not okay. You know, those sort of the things, you know, we have to re-examine who we are as human beings and what is good for the world. You know, that's why I stress in my book, be kind as you possibly can to yourself so that you are better able to spread that kindness and share it with others.
We're going to find out who's knocking on the wall during our
paparazzi
podcast, right? We're going to tell them, you got to get that situated. The book explores a lot of kind of life lessons. It explores your history.
Yes.
It feels like in a lot of your speeches, and we'll touch on them, and a lot of your philanthropy, you're just kind of giving a message to society of be better.
I know what it's like to be left out. I know what it's like not to be chosen. I know what it's like to be told, well, I don't like that about you, or I don't like this about you, so therefore you don't get the job. I know what all of that feels like, but I also know what it feels like to continue believing in myself, understanding and knowing that if they don't choose me, they have made a terrible mistake. And they might not know it now, but they will know it later. You know, I believe in me. I believe in rising to the occasion of my own life and representing for the world exactly who I am.
Did you always? I mean, you've been acting, you've won the awards, you've played several different roles, impactful roles.
Mm-hmm. By choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you always have that belief in yourself, or did you have to get there?
I'm a child of the 60s, and I had to get there. You know, being a child of the 60s, oh, it was horrible. You know, I talked about that in my TED Talk, and I talked about how the 60s really molded me as a human being when people... They were just unkind to you. They would say horrible things to you. You know, the shade of your skin wasn't good enough. The shape of your nose wasn't good enough. Your lips were not good enough. And oh my God, and people would just say all kind of things to you. I tested out of public school, and I went to a very private school, Notre Dame Academy for Young Women, and I was the only black person in the whole school all day long. And the things that I was subjected to by people, and not just the kids, but the adults too, it was either going to make me stronger, it was going to completely break me. And having the kind of parents that loved me, you know, my parents pushed me, knowing that I could overcome, knowing that I could take it. You know, kids of integration, you had to be strong, or else none of us were going to make it. So, yeah.
It is.
I think about it sometimes, yeah. And I'm like, how did I do that? But I made it.
So
I made it. Yes.
You made it.
Mm-hmm.
And still making it.
Yes.
Glenn Turman was here.
Yes, I love Glenn Turman.
And doing a bunch
of things.
Oh, my God. Documentary out.
Yes.
And it's interesting because he was talking about some of those same things, because he's been in the industry through a lot of those steps.
Right.
Is it ever interesting to you that we sit back and we see the success? We see diva in the kindest sense of the word.
Yes.
And had no idea what was going on behind the scenes as you're smiling on camera. The same fights that people were having in society, you're fighting in an industry that was often unkind.
Yes, you know, I tell people I don't look like my journey. You know, I do not look like my journey. I show up the best me possible. The industry, I remember, I thank God for Sidney Poitier. My very first film, Piece of the Action, was with him, and he was just so wonderful about guiding me through the industry, helping me understand how difficult it would be. And I remember leaving that set, and he said he was very sorry the industry did not have more to offer me, because I deserved it. But, you know, all things in time, because all of those years passed, and it's taken me 40 years to become an overnight sensation, and I am enjoying the best times in my whole career, and I get to experience something that most people will never experience, and that is the love and the adoration of other human beings, especially when they say to me, "You helped me. I understand what it's going to take." When I look at the kinds of young women and young men that say, "Thank you, Miss Ralph," you know, and I look at my fan base, and they're 5 years old and they're 95 years old. That does not happen. It is very unusual, but it's just amazing to me that the kind of things they want to talk to me about: education, politics, cars, what am I wearing, watches, what's the beauty product I love. That does not happen all the time, but I'm experiencing it, and it's absolute magic for me.
So you still love this?
Oh, I love what I'm doing. It was interesting. I was sitting down watching TV, and they were talking about retirement and retirement taxes. And I literally thought for a moment, I said, "Retirement? What is that?" I said, no, I'm Betty White Black, baby. I'll be working until the very end. Absolutely. She and Cicely Tyson worked right up until the day before they died. That'll be me. Yeah.
So for obvious reasons, I'm going to touch on it because we can't. We can't talk about specific things that are going on in your career. And, I'll mention Abbott Elementary, which is amazing.
Thank you.
Not going to go down that path. But what I will ask is, you said that you're getting your flowers and this level of respect and people coming to you for guidance.
Yes.
And is it at all frustrating that after this kind of career, when you've been doing it, you're getting the flowers now.
Yes.
And here comes this strike
that
shuts down the conversation. You know, we're going to pause some of the flowers, or is this just another fight you got to get in?
I'm telling you, that's life. That's what happens. And I believe that getting, you know, I'm the vice president of the LA local, and we have over 80,000 people that we represent. And I'm telling you, this strike is a seminal moment in the entertainment industry. The contracts that we are fighting for are important. We should have contracts that can keep up with life and the cost of living. We should have contracts that people are able to work in a way that they can afford health insurance. Yes, we've got a mix of people in the 80% of our union who do not work. Some of them are working actors. Some of them are just members of the union. But those people that are putting in the time and the work should be able to have health insurance. It is not acceptable that you create a new equation for the industry where people are going to work 7, 10, maybe 12 episodes. You want to hold them to those episodes and say they can't go seek work elsewhere. Something's got to change. We do not want to talk about artificial intelligence, but it is important to talk about AI because it is happening right now. And why should studios have the ability to scan our bodies, take our movements, maybe put somebody else's face on our body and we get nothing about that? No, you must factor in that, guess what? Like all workers, we want to get paid. Pay us. Stop saying it's going to cost you too much. You must factor in what it costs you to have workers doing your business. People want to get paid. Maybe if you paid all workers more, they might come back to work. People, workers want to get paid, and that's why this is a hot labor summer. And I tell everybody out there, you know, you want to get a good paid person, go get yourself a UPS man or woman, because they stood out there on strike, and what are they getting as their base pay? $170,000. I say to teachers, come on, teachers. Teachers deserve to be paid more. I want to know, with everybody going back to school, why are teachers, some of these teachers, only getting $35,000 a year?
Yeah.
I mean, that is ridiculous, and that is unacceptable. We give these people our greatest resource, our children, their hearts and their minds. Then we say, I don't want to pay you. No, they deserve pay, and I think they should at least get $125,000, and people need to figure out how they get paid properly. Excuse me, see me, I'm getting all hot and bothered about this. Hey, I'm just saying, pay them, pay the people.
They messed with the wrong one. But you know, it is interesting though, because when you have that discussion,
yes,
and there's nothing you said that I disagree with.
Thank you.
Except I might leave and go work for UPS. Other than that, you know, I do think that there are people who believe, and I work in TV,
yes,
that you make a whole lot more money
than you
do.
You're right.
Now, and then when people see someone like yourself,
yes,
or people see some of the people who are successful,
yes,
you know, have done well,
yes,
then they see you out there going, well, what are they complaining about?
Oh, listen.
And don't know about the everybody else that you're talking about.
Because it is very easy to sit pretty and say, oh, they don't need my help. Well, what do I need to help them for? Go fight for yourself. I'm fine over here. Go fight for yourself. People need allies. You need somebody, when you're doing well, you need somebody to stand up and say, I get your struggle. I get your fight. There are background workers that are very integral to our industry. Pay the people. Dancers, singers, disc jockeys, exotic dancers. We have all puppeteers. All kinds of people are a part of our industry. So this is not about some high-paid actors saying, pay me more. Not at all. Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, any of the big folks out there, and it's really about the big boys. You know, the big girls are coming in a distant second when it comes to the pay, but they negotiate what they get. And they, in some ways, become actor producers. That's a different level. This is not about that. This is about the 80% of the union that are plain old ordinary workers that deserve a good contract. And trust me, I've spent a lot of my time being one of those people. A lot of my career being one of those people who just shows up to go to work.
Do you think it's encouraging? And you know some of your colleagues and folks who have been successful but are standing up for the fight.
Yes.
Is it encouraging to you? Because going back to what you and Glenn Turman and others said, when maybe you wanted people to stand up and fight then, and perhaps they didn't, is it encouraging how many people are stepping up and saying, we're in this, even if it's not about me personally?
It is always necessary, and I'll say it again, to have allies. They may not get out there on the picket lines. You know, we were out here in Philadelphia, you know, SAG after out here in Philadelphia in Love Park, you know, but some people aren't able to do that. Some people aren't even in cities where people are striking. You know, we forget this is a huge country and also a huge industry that covers, what, 160,000 people? That's a lot of people. But for people to use their voice, to use their platform to help others. And the work that we are doing, and people are seeing how we are hanging tight. Look, the writers, it's been, what, 100, over 100 some odd days. Yeah. That shows you strength. That shows you unity. And that is encouraging hotel workers to say, wait a minute, we do deserve better. It encouraged people like, you know, the UPS to say, wait a minute, we just want to get paid. It is encouraging teachers on the whole North American continent, in Canada and the United States, to consider, wait a minute, we need better contracts. So it is encouraging people to find strength in unity and stand up for what is necessary for workers in this continent. In this country, it is important. I mean, this whole tip wage thing, you know, I think about the start of things like tip wage. Tip wage started because companies did not want to pay black workers. Post-slavery, post that, they didn't want to pay them. They still wanted them to work for free. So they created tip. So now it's been kept all of these years. So people that work in the service industry, they don't want to pay them, you know, say the $15 an hour. They say, well, you just get $9 and the rest you'll make up in tips. So what? The customer should come in and pay the salary that the business is not willing to pay? Some of these equations must be reworked. And that's what we're fighting for with SAG-AFTRA, better contracts. Overall, it's a seminal point for workers, period, especially SAG-AFTRA, and I hope we get to work before the new year.
You won an Emmy.
Yes.
Not long ago. You won lots of awards over the course of your career.
Yes.
But you won an Emmy, and it went viral. You know, I am an endangered species. Two questions. First, was that planned? Because it seems like you got up there and it was just...
It was... The walk to the stage, I don't really remember. I remember hearing Quinta saying, get up! It's you! And I was in such shock. And I took that walk and it was like I was replaying every year in my whole career, everything that I had been through, the things that had been said to me. They said that when you're about ready to die, your whole life flashes in front of you. My whole career was flashing in front of me, and I could hear my kids up in the balcony screaming, Mommy, yes! And it was just an amazing moment, and then there's this huge sign in front of me saying, stop now, stop now. And I remember thinking, I am not going to stop now because this is just the beginning. And just as I was about ready to break down into tears, it was like my father up in heaven. I could hear my father saying, don't you cry. This is your moment. Show them who you are. And I burst out in song to just calm myself.
So completely, it was just the moment.
I thought somebody else was going to win. I didn't think I was winning.
So this one, and I going back to the whole diva discussion, and I say this respectfully, it doesn't seem like the awards necessarily mean that much to you. Like the achievement and
the work.
And you know, and the activism and things like that, this one meant something.
Yeah, it did. You know, there was something incredible about my peers, the people that you work with, the people that see your work, to choose you and say, you are one of the best. You represent the best of who we are. Understanding that everybody in that category, everybody that I am nominated with, was nominated with, they are all some of the best. But you're the one that gets it this year. Oh my God, it's just,
it still means something.
It still means something to me. It still means something to me. And to be nominated consecutively, you know, once again in this year, it means even more to me.
I'm going to touch on this because I know your husband.
Yes.
I've known your husband for a minute.
What do you call him, Senator Smooth?
Senator Smooth. We used to have theme music for him when he would come on my radio show.
Oh, my gosh.
And in your book, you got him in the hat.
The hat, because that's him.
Right. It was Senator Smooth.
That's right. Senator Vincent Hughes. Smooth.
Right.
I like it.
Listen, we were like, I told you off camera that when you all first start dating and it became public, he was on the show. And I said to him, how'd you get Moesha's mama to go out with you? And I don't know how he felt about that, but we've remained cool.
It was a blind date.
Really?
It was a blind date. My friend Cece Holloway was the VP of diversity at Paramount, and this was long before diversity and inclusion was a thing. But she was in that position, and she said, "You have to meet my friend, the senator." And I was like, "Okay, your friend, the senator? Yeah, right." You fancy girl. And she tried for a few years to get us together. It just never happened. And then right after 9/11. He was coming to New York City to do some meeting about, you know, the tragedy and health and all of that. And I was there getting ready to start rehearsals on a musical called Thoroughly Modern Millie. And she said, "Guess who's in town?" I said, "Who?" She said, "The senator." And anyway, we met. And when we met, that was it. I mean, I don't know how God figured that out, but it just was that. And, you know, there were so many people who said, "Oh, that'll never work out, blah, blah, blah." But look at where we are, 21 years together and 18 years married.
You know, it's strange.
Happily.
People who said that would never work. Because I've known him, obviously, for a lot longer than I've known you.
Yes.
But sitting and talking to you, I get it. Like, he's a senator who has been involved in these causes.
Yes.
He's been getting dollars into communities for years.
Yes.
You know, he cares about these initiatives. You guys have partnered together on all of these different initiatives,
yes.
You know, sometimes behind the scenes. I get it now.
Thank you. You
know, because I understand. It's like you found that kindred spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm the yin to his yang. And it's so interesting that I'm doing a show like the one I'm currently doing. And it's a complete joining of our interests, especially around education. You know, when Vincent gets out there and talks about the importance of good schools for all children, no matter their zip code, he's been saying that for years, that no matter their zip code, all children should have a good, solid education. When he talks about how can you deplete funds from public schooling and put it in other places and then say our public schools don't matter. For a lot of people, public schools are all they've got. That's their choice. And we as cities, states, a country, the government, we should make sure that all of our public schools are up to educating all of our children. That is not to say that we don't want families to have choice. Have all the choice you would like, but not at the expense of our public schools. We cannot let our public schools waste away, because there are students in those schools who deserve a proper education.
You're going to run for something.
No.
You're going to run for something.
No, I'm not.
We
got to
start to wrap up. You got to run for something.
Thank you.
By the way, I haven't pointed out, you look great, and you absolutely match the set.
Thank you.
That wasn't the plan. You got the green and the blue. You coordinate.
Thank you. I have an incredible stylist. My daughter, Ivy, has started working with me since the beginning of the run of the show, and she has incredible style, and everybody follows her on social media, Ivy Coco, and she just has great style, and I really, really love what she's able to do. She pays attention to things, and then she makes suggestions so that, like you just noticed, it's a perfect blend wherever it is okay, I'm going.
All right.
Yeah.
Two more things, and then yes. We will wrap. And I appreciate you taking this much time.
Not a problem.
There's a lot to talk about.
Well, thank you.
A lot. So
the book.
We touched on the book.
Yes.
I want to end mostly with the book.
Yes.
So a lot of what we've been talking about, things that people will experience in the book, your
yes.
lessons, your history, your message.
You know what? In writing Diva 2.0, I wanted people to realize that you're so worthy. People, there's so many people out there that are so wonderful. You know, I've had some conversations with people that someone would not pay any attention to, but there's something so wonderful about them. There was a woman on Fifth Avenue, and I saw her maybe 6 years ago, and she was messed up from life. And for whatever reason, she looked up and she said, "Cheryl Lee Ralph, take my picture, because maybe my family will find me." And I thought about that woman, down and out, who had the wherewithal to ask for help. Most people will never have that. They will never be in a position where they say, "I need help." You know, I saw that woman maybe 2 months ago, and I was talking to her again, and my daughter was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm talking to her." My God. The woman took her phone, and she says, "Cheryl, that's my daughter." Oh, my God. Talk about getting choked up. "That's my daughter." Okay, so maybe she didn't turn out to be Vice President of the United States overnight.
She found her family.
She found her family. These are some of the things that I'm talking about. Sometimes people need to find themselves. You know, we've got a big problem in crime in cities across this country, not just Philadelphia. Yes, it's bad here, but it's not Philadelphia alone. It is happening because a lot of us have forgotten how to take time and to put time into other people. You think children raise themselves? Sometimes it takes a village, a community. Sometimes it takes a good school to help raise up children. We've forgotten that is necessary. But then at the same time, I think that sometimes those sort of things are put into place so that you end up dividing people, so that you get people on both sides of the problem to say, "Well, they're not, those kids aren't worth anything. That community is not worth anything." Yeah, that community is worth something. Yes, those people are worth something. And just the same amount of time you put into other communities is the same amount of time that you should put in these communities. This whole thing about separate but equal, it's not true. It is separate still and very unequal, and we are the ones that we have been waiting for, and we are the ones that are able to change it. That maybe I'm going to put that in the next book. Thank you. But in Diva 2.0, published by Wordee, WORDEEE Publishing, the book is available, Barnes & Noble here in Philadelphia. Also,
Uncle Bobby's
book and coffee shop. It's there. And I want people to take the time to read it. And if you like, listen to it. I did my own audio version of the book, and I'm very pleased with it. And I want to thank all of the companies and different organizations that have been calling to partner on the book. You know, this book is for people, and I tell people, if you really want to partner on it, hit us up, put together your events. We'll come, we'll talk, and half of whatever is sold goes to you. Not a dollar, but you get it. Let's make this happen.
That leads to our final question on
yes.
every episode of The Pulse. The theme of this show is use your voice for good.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of who we have in, we always end with, what does the concept of use your voice for good mean to you?
I am an endangered species, but I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice belongs. Use your voice, find your voice, be careful with your voice, because inner thoughts do not always need to be outer thoughts. And sometimes you need to put the mic down and listen. But above all, be good to yourself, because like the great drag queen says, if you can't be good to yourself, how in the world are you going to be good to anybody else?
It was a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to what is, I guess, a wow episode of The Pulse with Bill Anderson today with Sherilee Ralph, redefining what it means to be a diva. She shared her experiences. She shared her challenges. It became really clear why she is such an activist and an advocate. It was empowering. It was educational. It was emotional. I enjoyed that conversation. And as I often say, I hope you did as well. Do me a favor, at the top of your screen, your phone, your tablet, however you're listening to this episode, hit the follow, subscribe, like, whatever button you have to hit so that you'll get a notification every Monday when a new episode of The Pulse comes out. Also, head on over to YouTube, search The Pulse with Bill Anderson. I think that you will find some pretty cool episodes that you may not have gotten the chance to see, going all the way back to the early days with Iyanla VanZant as our first guest. More recently, members of New Edition and Tracy Morgan and Michael Rapaport, Sarah Silverman, Vivica A. Fox, and on and on and on. Just go ahead and check them out. And you can hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. I always love to hear from you. I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good. And have a good one.